All right, y'all, we are back on business. So I guess I might as well get a little bit of the elephant in the room out of the way. I did not plan to take a week off. That was not the plan. Honestly, the plan was to flood y'all with content. And mad content was recorded. But we're actually going to go about a different strategy. I've been working with some new equipment to enhance the quality of the pod. And there was a little bit of issue I've noticed, at least early on, with some of the episodes. Let's just say I was really excited, and it affected the quality of the audio. I think over time, it was really bad in the first episode of the whole Bulls series. That you don't know what that's about just yet, but don't worry, you'll get there. I didn't really hear it as much in the second episode, and I'm still going along, but I was working with some new things, and trial and error, we live and we learn. But Alan came down for about like six, seven weddings. Well, not that many, it was like three, but still some ridiculous number of weddings. We definitely had a long talk. I don't even remember if we got a pod off about that, but it his the people that got married, they were already winning their situation. I'll just say that. They were already winning their situation. There was literally no benefit to being legally married. Now, if they just had a party, then I mean, I'm all for that. But whatever. Hey, do your thing. But it's just concerning. It's just concerning. It's not. No, fuck it, whatever. But Alan was down here. It also just happened to coincide with my birthday, and 30 now. Last time you heard from me, I was just a mere 29-year-old child. Now I'm a 30-year-old boy. Things have changed. Things have changed. Now, with all things said, it was a great day. I had my favorite restaurant, Ricky's. I had about 30 tacos. It was fantastic. And I am an extremist. I'm an extremist on just about everything. I don't do like. I either love or hate. I like is, I think like is just a waste of time for everybody. Either hate it or love it. And because of that, earlier in the year, I was like, "Damn, this is gonna be my 30th birthday. Like, I gotta do something. I gotta, we gotta live it up. This is your 30th," and I felt obligated to do that for so long. And the closer we get, because I already planning on going to Vegas, and I mean, I really don't care about leaving the country right now. Like, I really don't like. There's And like all of these other places, like Miami, New York, LA, like I know I don't really I'm good. I'm good on that. I'm sorry, I'm good on New Orleans, I'm good on that. So I was thinking to myself, I'm not trying to go double back on Vegas, because then I think that like I've only been to Vegas once. It was about 8 years ago, and I think that that's good, because if I were to go to Vegas like once a month, which is easily doable, like that would I, it would I think it's good to space it out. It's good to space it out. Don't you don't need to do these things. You don't need to do these things on the regular. Give them what's the saying? Absent makes the heart grow. This applies to everything. So I hey, the less we have of it, the better it is. That's why they say long distance. Anywho, I was gonna come in here on some. On some, but I decided, you know what? Let me chill. It's not even about that. I really, really, really want to tap into that, but it. I'm starting to, and maybe this is the whole part of the, being the 30-year-old boy thing. I'm starting to realize that it's. See, I see all of these, I guess, conflicts, internal conflicts at that as well. I see them all as like nukes. That's what I think emotional intelligence is for a man. Because like if you have a lapse in judgment in that emotional intelligence, it's basically you're setting off a nuclear explosion because the ramifications that come from whatever happens in that moment of time where you fail in that emotional intelligence, it's gonna be long standing. So it's like a nuke. So in all of these instances, I'm like ready to completely just throw it all away, but at the same time, the wisdom in me is just saying, hey, it's all right. Just let it be. Let it be. Let it be. So anyway, back to my day. As I was thinking about what it is that I should do, what I wanted to do, I kept coming back to the obvious answer. And who am I? Who am I to tell God he's wrong? Sunday, God forgive me, but you know my heart. But who am I to say God is wrong? My 30th birthday fell on a Sunday. Y'all already know what Sunday is, what it's been for the past 9 weeks, and what it's going to be for the next 12 weeks. God said, no, this day, this year, day of football. These past 30 years, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We reward you with this day of football. But that wasn't enough. I just thought that was just enough, too much of a coincidence. I think October 22nd, it was like National Puppy Day or National Kitty Day or some bullshit. I can't fucking remember. But there's always just some random National Chili Dog Day. So Sonic is going to be doing half off these. Like, it's always just some fucking bullshit. So I wanted to see if that shit was even real, whatever holiday it was. I don't remember, whatever international day of bullshit it was. I don't remember, but I was on the website and I had like every single day for the entire year. And I got to October and I saw whatever day it was on that day was listed there along with a couple of other things. And I was like, this is ridiculous. They literally have something for every single fucking day. So then obviously the narcissist in me was just like, well, I have to see what my day is. You would think that I would have already known this or have done this before, but no, this was the first, I mean, no, you wouldn't think that because I'm a narcissist. Why would I think my day is anything other than my day? But yeah, maybe that's, the 30, the wisdom and the boy. I don't know. I get to the website and I see like two or three other. No, I can't remember. It might have just been the one thing. I don't know. I'd have to go back and check. But I saw National Hermit Day, October 29th. When I first saw that, I said, surely somebody is playing a trick on me, but I am all for it. I am all for it. This is absolutely phenomenal. This is perfect. I have 7 hours of football. I got Ricky's tacos. This is everything. This is everything. It's National Hurt. Don't bother me. I mean, people, with the text and things like that. It was a great day. It was a great day. Very, very, very low maintenance great day. And there was plenty of ways and opportunities where that day could have been a very high maintenance day, but I don't think it would have been better than what it was. Because you see how we're just able to rationalize, what I just did on my birthday. Nothing but watch football, and I couldn't be happier. But I could have also took those signs to be like, okay, so boom, the Warriors are playing in Houston on your 30th birthday. 30 is going to be in Texas on your 30th. Like, I can't make this any more of a fucking like 2 + 2 = 4. Like, nigga, go to the game. But the thing is, see, I'm bougie, which that's not really a problem. But the problem is, if this game would have been in like February, March, maybe April, maybe, then people would probably be like, yeah, I'm not like, yeah, the fuck these games. Because I wanted to get season tickets to either the Mavs, the Rockets, or the Spurs. But unfortunately, now I know. But apparently you have to, maybe for the Spurs and for the Rockets, it was a wait list that was also already sold out, which it really doesn't make sense to me how, I guess it does make sense how the tickets are sold out, but you don't see a sold out crowd. Because I've been spoiled. I've been on the floor to a couple of Spurs games. So if I'm ever going to go to any type of basketball game, it's going to be on the floor. So I wanted to get season tickets, and apparently I thought the Spurs would be a slam dunk, but after they got Wimby, they started feeling themselves. They knew what they had very early. We're going to get to Wimby here later on, but yeah, apparently you have to make a reservation to be on the wait list to have an opportunity to be selected to get season tickets. Well, the season tickets I'm looking at, the court sizing ticket. Yeah, you can get the fucking bullshits, but like, I will never. I've been on the floor to multiple NBA games. That's the only way I will ever watch an NBA game again. Other than that, my TV is fine. The bathroom's right there. There's never a line. I got whatever food I want. Like, I hate people. Like, this is perfect. This is perfect. And if I want to watch it with anyone, like, yeah, it would rather be like, you know, the select group of people rather than 18,000 people who I don't give a singular fuck about. That's not me. I don't know. That's retarded. I want to. And then also in the NFL, I've been to the only NFL game I've been to, I was in a suite. So, yeah. And then I also, because I did have an opportunity to just buy a singular game ticket in, you know, in the section that I wanted. But I remember this is the NBA. There's no telling when guys are just going to take a night off just because. If this was a playoff game, understandable. You know everybody's going to play. You know who should be playing. For a regular season game, early in the season, this team's been there, done that. They have long-term aspirations. I believe that game was a back-to-back as well. I believe that was the game after Sacramento, I think. No, it was the front end of a back-to-back because they had New Orleans the next day. I woke up that morning and saw Steph was questionable. And I knew that I made the right decision by not getting those tickets. Now, he ended up playing and having a pretty good game, and they won. But still, No. That would have definitely set up the next decade for, I don't want to say failure, but remorse? No. Regret. Don't want to say regret? Didn't I just say I didn't want to say regret? Carrying it right along. Also, another thing that I found hilarious on my birthday is women cannot comprehend the idea in general. Women cannot comprehend the idea of not wanting to see, speak, hear, or be around anybody as a choice, as a preference on their birthday. I mean, on any day, but my birthday, like, I think I can at least have the right to get it off. On any other day, it would be difficult. Very, very annoying, we'll say. But they just cannot believe that you're able to be happy without attention from anyone or anything at all. They really don't understand, like, you know those fucking memes where, like, all the guy has like a fucking, like, with the fucking lawn chairs and like a PS5. Like, dog, he got everything he need, dog. What are you talking about? This man is in heaven. Oh man. Yeah, no, it's a great birthday. Great birthday. Able to produce, or well, I haven't produced it yet, but able to record a lot of content that y'all will soon be getting. Now, because I took so long off, I should, I guess Jeff will address this whenever he gets back on. Again, I didn't intend on taking a week off, but Jeff, he had something come up that pretty much made him incapable of potting for a minimum of 10 days. I'll go ahead and let you read in between the lines, or we can just wait until Jeff comes back to the pod to explain what the situation was as to why he was ruled a DMP for the pod. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So there's been 2 weeks of college football that I obviously want to get into, but it's actually going to be pretty short because, a lot of things have changed since then. Let's see. There's been a lot of trades in the NFL. Now, me and Alan did record an episode that probably is going to come out before this episode about the whole James Harden trade, and I'm very upset about it. But the biggest thing to me is, at some point, the conversation needs to be had. Now, I guess I understand why the conversation hasn't been had because, like, you know, these are two in the
on the microphone.
Grand scheme of things, I guess, irrelevant players. I'm a big fan of one of them, but I guess in the grand scheme of things, like, when you play in the era of somebody that's challenging the GOAT, like, everybody else is just kind of eh. Like, I mean, Dominique Wilkins, Clyde Drexler, like, those guys are probably pretty good. Karl Malone, pretty good basketball player. John Stockton, we believe, pretty good basketball player. Like, you know, Charles Barkley, I might have said him already, but you get my point. But because they don't have anything close to a fraction of the accolades and hardware that one Michael Jordan has, you get my point. But who has had more help between James Harden and Kevin Durant? Now, I know they started off together, and, you know, because Kevin was older, he was able to, you know, get more playing time and I guess somewhat be seen as like a leader or whatever of that team, which obviously was their downfall because he was older. I believe if he was there longer, he might not have been older, but he was there longer. So, and again, I believe that was ultimately their downfall. But after that, James Harden he was in Houston. And now I will say James Harden did have, okay, I think I answered my question on my own, because those Houston Rockets teams were good overall teams. They had a great system. He was the system, but they had everything else around it. But as far as star power, obviously he had Chris Paul for a while, had Russ for a little bit. He was with the Nets, so he's back with KD again, this time with Kyrie. And then they're with Philly with the MVP, Joel Embiid. And really, that's it. But, you know, I mean, well, you know, there's some other quality guys, but really, that's it. So, yeah, okay. My bad. But then again, it was obviously Kevin Durant had more help until just now. Like, what the fuck? Well, actually, Kevin Durant still might have him beat because overall, Kevin Durant, if we're going to go back and look at it outside of his first, like, 2 years in the league. Every roster he's been on has had an MVP on it. Every roster outside of the first 2 years, I believe, because I think Russ was there the second year. Now, granted, Russ did, you know, one of those, you know, fluky, not all the way disingenuous, you know, things to say, but, you know, that's all we do is disingenuous discourse these days. Kevin Durant has not had an MVP on his roster for all but 2 years. Or, you know what I mean. I fucked that up. Take that back. Outside of the first 2 years of Kevin Durant's career, he has had an MVP, a minimum of one MVP on his roster. Now, again, this Clippers team is pretty fucking stacked as far as hardware and accolades. I'm surprised nobody's done like what they did with the Lakers whenever they had all their people and everything. Just goes to show, you know, there's levels to this, but We need to dive into that. We need to dive into that. Because, I mean, obviously KD's had, you know, what I just said he's had. But James Harden has been able to put himself into very, very, very good situations. And it screams problematic to me if I'm an owner or a GM. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the episode that me and Alan did. So I'll go ahead and leave it at that as far as that whole situation is concerned. Next up, let's go ahead and get to some college basketball. So, first of all, the women decided to tip off at 2 o'clock in Paris. I don't know what's going on with that. And then also the number one team. Well, that was Notre Dame and somebody else, Louisville or something. I don't know. And then Colorado upset LSU, the number one defending champs LSU. So good to know that. I'm not going to do it, but you know. Women's college basketball is back. What that also means, thank God, real college basketball is back. So we're getting to see the Knicks era. You know, I've kind of fell off from a Kentucky fan because my NBA teams are, you know, doing pretty well. If you're a big college basketball fan, it's just because your NBA team sucks. Or you, like, don't have, like, a player like that in the NBA. Like, that's really it. Like, if you're a big college basketball fan, you just because, I mean, that whole college, if you were a big, big, big college basketball fan, eventually those guys, I mean, if they're any good, go to the NBA and hopefully have, you know, become something and do something with that from the NBA. If you're just a fucking... But anyway, edit that out. Anyway, Bronny is here. Well, actually, he's not here, but I got fooled. I've been checking on that USC score, but he's not playing. But we do get to see the next generation of Kentucky. We got DJ Wagner, Rob Dillingham, Justin Edwards. They out here doing their thing. Texas, they have like a whole – I kind of not – like Texas is good, but I'm kind of not a fan because they're all transfers. So it's not like they're not Texas. It's weird. It's weird how that works. And also last in college basketball news, F. Cooper Flagg. I don't like that guy. He is the American white's last hope. If you're unfamiliar with who Cooper Flagg is, he's the number one recruit in the nation. He's going to Duke, or at least he's committed to Duke as of right now. He's from Maine. And fun fact that for whatever reason, very understandable, most people don't know, is he actually has a twin brother. Now imagine being the twin brother of the number one recruit in the nation, and you also play the same sport, and you're not number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 200, 300, 400, 500 recruit in the nation. Okay, he might be. He might be like 500, but that's just because he's getting all the exposure and going to all the same camps and getting all the same opportunities that his number one recruit in the nation brother is getting. But that's got to suck for him. That's got to suck for him. And I think he's actually the oldest of the whole twin thing because, you know, even though you're twins, typically one comes out first. So, you know. If you weren't aware about that, then now you know. Cooper Flagg has a twin brother, so thoughts and prayers to Cooper Flagg's twin brother. It probably would have been better. I knew his name before I did. The first time, this is not. I looked this up. This was months ago. And not fuck that. We gonna get his name. What's my best name? This sucks. But the only way for me to find his name is to type in Cooper Flagg's brother. I would hate having to be a guy, you know what hey, shout out to him. Has a twin brother, Ace. His brother's name is Ace. That's the most fire ass name. Dog. Ace Flag. Oh my goodness. And then you got this fucking dog. That sucks. Montverde, this is disgusting. This kid, these guys were born. First of all, they're 16. Second of all, they were born December 2006. Nigga, I was 13 when these niggas was born, dog. What the fuck are we doing here? Oh my god, yeah, man. Hey, I'm old now. Shout out to Cooper Flagg's brother, Ace. Shout out to Ace Flagg, my dog, Ace. Anyway, let's go ahead and just about getting ready to wrap it up. I had something somewhat real that I wanted to talk about in this, and it totally slipped my mind. But I guess I'll be able to do that with this new handy-dandy little thing that's going to take this podcast to the next level, along with this other pair of handy dandy little things. Oh God, we're not going to be able to use that shit when Jeff comes. I mean, we got to figure this. It's got to be seamless. It's got to be seamless. Anyway, shout out Ace Flag. All right, let's get to it. UTSA has won two games in the past 2 weeks. Who'd they play last week? I believe it was FAU. And this past week was... it really doesn't matter. I mean, there's only two teams in the American Conference that are actually concerning. I think they played North Texas this past weekend. Yeah, it's North Texas. There's only two teams, Tulane and SMU. Both have been solid all year, have been solid in that conference. We saw what Tulane can do. I mean, hell, it's funny how this all comes full circle, but I mean, Tulane did beat USC last year in their bowl game. Was not happy about that. But with that being said, UTSA owns about 70 to 75% of college football. You line them up with 70 to 75% of college football teams, and we like our chances. Now, there's still like that select, like I would say maybe the top 35 to 40 teams. If you put us on the field with them, neutral field, like it's going to be a battle. And we could also still get our ass beat if we don't have, you know, all of our parts. But it's going to be a battle. I think we can definitely compete with USC, which really hurts my heart to say that. Really hurts my heart to say that. But also feels that hurt. Pause. Anyway, kind of oddly and unfortunately, because there aren't any divisions in the American Conference this year, UTSA, if I'm remembering correctly, we do play Tulane last game of the year, which they actually announced today. That game's going to be on ABC. So yeah, UTSA on ABC, who would have thought? But Tulane and SMU do not play each other, if I'm remembering correctly. So Tulane and SMU, they can win out without having to see each other, and they would be undefeated in conference. UTSA would not be able to win out because obviously they have Tulane in front of them. So SMU has the front track to get to the conference championship game. UTSA and Tulane will have to cancel each other out. But there's still that outside chance that if UTSA is able to run the table, win conference, as well as winning the last three games, as well as winning conference, that a New Year's Six Bowl is not outside the realm of possibility. But right now, in this moment, it looks like we're going to be playing Texas State again in our bowl game, and that's a no-go. That's a no-go for me. That is an absolute no-go for me. There's no winning for us in that situation, outside of actually being able to possibly win our first bowl game. But the thing is, it's hard to beat a team twice in a season. It's hard. Also, with it being a rivalry game, with the stakes at it, I don't want that game. I don't think UTSA wants that game. I don't believe UTSA wants it. I believe the Bulls want that game. UTSA does not want that game. There's nothing for UTSA to gain in that game. Which is hilarious. It all comes full circle. My dad went to Southwest Texas State, now Texas State, and he always talks about how UT never wanted to play Southwest Texas State. And yeah, there was no benefit to UT at that time in playing Texas State. I do believe that they actually are going to play, if not next season, the year after that in football. So funny how things change. But yeah, no, the more competitive it is, the less beneficial it is for us to play in games that don't even fit that whole criteria. Because, like, God, look, we're 5-0, I believe, 5-0, 6-0. If they met in the bowl game and lost, like, you might as well erase those five, honestly. Especially with now they got the first bowl win. Oh, man, that no, 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 no. Not going to be able to do it. Anyway, USC. USC came back and beat Cal last week. Shout out to the haters, the people that didn't believe in us. But then came back this week against Washington and Shout out to the haters and people that didn't believe in us. Y'all was right. Y'all was right that game. I didn't really watch as much of it, unfortunately, but it did not end well in our favor. Caleb did not – well, the offense actually seemed to be playing all right. It's just what the story's been always all year, that damn defense. But now we're stuck with Caleb fucking crying and boo-hooing after the game with his mom and everything. I mean, if you're going to – that was awful. That was awful. Like, I don't give me that. Oh, he's a human. These emotions. He's in the moment. Like, nah. I definitely understand crying after a game. I mean, I've only done it like two or three times, but I can definitely understand that emotion or that frustration. But like, you're gonna see your family. Like, I played college football, so I kind of understand in general, especially with it being a home game. You're going to see them in about 20, 30 minutes. If you don't have the emotional fortitude to be able to carry yourself for that 15, 20, 30 minutes to get up out the stadium, get dressed, well, he's going to have to do interviews and everything. So like hour 15, because I think he's going to – that's just an awful look, dog. That's just an awful look. I know in this new PC culture that we're in, we're supposed to be accepting of it and everything, but that's not what I would draft my quarterback. I wouldn't want to see those emotions from a quarterback that I'm drafting. Like, yes, I see that you care about the game. That's great. We can't see you doing that. We cannot see you doing that. Again, love the emotion. Understand that. He's not the first person that's lost a big game. Other guys have been able to conceal their emotions. Hell, Dirk concealed his emotions after winning a championship. Like, it's levels. It's levels to this, man. We gotta, nah. Not happy about that. But hopefully at this point, I don't even know if he's going to finish the season. I wouldn't, but at the same time, if he doesn't finish the season, he's basically losing all of his leverage as far as you would think losing his leverage as far as going to dictate where he plays the NFL, which seems to be what he's trying to do. And funny enough, there's a lot of teams in the NFL there's a lot of great situations for him that are just opening up just crazy. I mean, the Giants, like, yeah, you could be the quarterback of the New York Giants. You could be with the Patriots if they decide to move on from Mac Jones, which they should. There's Minnesota out there. If they keep losing games, like, hey, you get to walk into the league, play in a dome, and get Justin Jefferson and your boy Jordan Addison. Like, Caleb, like, I mean, yeah, unfortunately, you might not be able to get it done in college, but you got paid in college. You got paid in college, and, I mean, you arguably have two homes. You know, you got Oklahoma and USC, you know, maybe not so much Oklahoma, but you understand, you get my point. Y'all get it. But yeah, it's definitely over for USC as far as a national championship, hell, Pac-12, all that. It's a wrap. And now we got to get to Colorado. Yeah, it's over for Colorado too. It's fucking over. They have, I believe, Arizona, Washington State, and somebody else that's damn near unbeatable. It hurts me to say this. It really, really does. I don't know if Colorado's going to win another game this season. And I know, obviously, you need six to be bowl eligible, but if there's not enough bowl eligible win teams, which there typically are, but rare cases, some years there aren't. But if they're not enough bowl eligible teams, then they would, of course, take a 5-7 team, and they would most definitely take a 5-7 Colorado team. I don't see Colorado winning one more game. Their most winnable game, in my opinion, is Arizona, I believe, this upcoming week. And Arizona gave USC hell. Arizona beat somebody this past week. They upset somebody. Or was it Oregon State last weekend that they upset? No, I think Utah, I don't know. They upset somebody recently. They're a capable team. Just about any quarterback can do whatever they want against Colorado. Shit, any offense can do whatever they want to do against Colorado. And because the Colorado offense has became one dimensional, that one dimensional shit worked early in the season because they were like, surely, like, this isn't all they're gonna do. But at the same time, that whole one dimensional thing is a crock of shit. I do need to acknowledge that, because I mean, I grew up watching Texas Tech throw the ball 60 times a game. Like, I mean, they had some pretty good years. Like, Mike Leach was a pretty great coach at pretty much every stop of the way. Like, that air raid shit works. And then, I mean, if you even gonna go further back, I forget the what's his name, Dan Fouts or whatever, Kellen Winslow Senior or whatever, with the San Diego Chargers back in the day. Like, air raid, air that bitch out. We want 75, obviously not 75, 80, but 40, 45, 50 attempts. So yeah, I mean, that is difficult if the other team knows that you're going to be throwing the ball, but pass or rushing the passer is more tiresome than, not rushing a passer. So I guess, like, just a regular, like, running up, shedding a block or whatever on a run play. Rushing the passer, I do think tires out D lineman faster. So if your O line is conditioned, I'm not understanding. Now, Shadur does hold the ball way too fucking long. Way too fucking long. But it worked early in the season. It did. And TCU, last time I checked, they not a bad team. They at least they haven't performed poorly this season. Not off, not to my memory in this moment. Colorado State, and then, I mean, yeah, we already know what to expect about that. Nebraska, we already knew about that. But it's not looking good. It's not looking good for my Buffaloes. Not looking good for my Buffaloes. Not looking good for my Trojans. And cup is half full with my Roadrunners, because those non-conference losses really just kind of took away all momentum that we had worked so hard these past 2 years to get. It must be nice to not need momentum and just be fortunate to already be in a Power Five conference. And just, if you do happen to actually be able to compete for 1 year, then you jump the line in front of other more deserving and probably better programs. It's upsetting. I can definitely understand how the Power Five and Group of Five model is not equitable. Not equitable at all. But at the end of the day, you gotta respect it. You gotta respect it. Cause I would definitely love it. I mean, shit, I use it to my I use it already to my advantage. Speaking of which, let's go ahead and I haven't updated y'all on my whole football picks for the past what, probably 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. So just overall, it's been going pretty well. Sorry, I know y'all hate hearing that, but it's actually been going pretty well. And this is actually from the beginning of the season. Like, this is actually first week of August when I had COVID, is when I had the time to do this after, I recovered a little bit. And I still, obviously, my season-long picks are, in the shitter. But as far as the individual games, I'm doing pretty good. Thus far this season, I am 161 and 110, which is good enough for a 59% win rate. And if, I mean, that's that'll do it. That will do it. No casino wants you to come in and win 59% of the time. I guarantee it. And but also just, giving y'all the other side of it, because, these are all just, the one game, picks throughout the weeks, but 161 and 110. Yeah, I had the Jets winning the division. That was before Aaron Rodgers played a snap, and he only took two more snaps. But yeah, probably not going to happen for them. I had the Chargers going 13 and 4. I'm always high on the Chargers, and I always get humbled very, very, very quickly. The Eagles, I had the Eagles going 15 and 2. So they've lost earlier than I expected for them to lose, but I still had them winning their division, and they probably still will. So, got that still working in my favor. I had the Vikings winning their division, but, kind of thought that we were going to get a healthy Justin Jefferson the entire season. So, no, that's not happening. I'm pretty sure the Lions are going to have that. And I only had the Vikings winning by one game. So, there's that. But over the Lions. I have the Saints winning the NFC South, and I believe, no, I think the Falcons are actually in first place right now. So yeah, shout out to the Falcons. I had the Jags winning the AFC, what's that, South, I believe, going 11-6, and I think that's doable. I think that's still doable. I mean, no, well, we're gonna get to CJ Stroud in a second, but I think that's still doable. I have the Ravens winning the AFC North at 12-5. So yeah, I think I'm definitely doing good on that one. 49ers winning the NFC West at 14-3. So I guess I might still have a couple of good solid division winner picks still out there. Now, before I get to y'all's favorite subject or my favorite setting, I'm sorry, my favorite y'all's favorite segment of the podcast, I do want to stop and just acknowledge and discrepancy in coverage for obvious reasons, but those obvious reasons are frustrating if you just stop and think. So a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was last weekend. Adam Johnson, hockey player, he was playing in Europe, I believe, was murdered on live television during a game. Now, okay, well, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say the word murder, was killed by the malicious acts of an opponent. I've only seen the video once and I didn't really fully comprehend what happened, and I'm not a person that just like I've noticed that some white people shit wanting to see gruesome injuries and like deaths and things like that. That's I've noticed that's just some white people shit. I maybe you know I that's just not really my bag, so I didn't really watch it to actually go back and see what happened. But I, from the little bit that I saw and from all accounts of what had happened, he pretty much swung his leg in an attempt to, I mean, in an attempt to inadvertently kick his opponent. Like it's one of those things where like, you know, you just kind of move your body in a way where you're going to do something that you don't, you have plausible deniability in your intent of wanting to do said thing. Now, the difference is there's a skate, a sharp skate that cuts through ice at the bottom of his foot, and when he does that inverted movement, he catches Adam Johnson on the neck, and he No, they get him medical attention, they get him to the hospital and everything, but he proceeds to die because of this. And it's a terrible story, awful that it happened. But the next day, it happened during a hockey game. I believe it was on a Saturday, last October 28th. It was on Saturday. The next Monday, all there were to all that was talked about in the sports media world in the United States is, you know, football. Football, basketball that happened over the weekend, but you know, that's basically it. And I'm just like, wait a minute, so you're telling me a guy died in hockey and we're not even talking about it? And then I saw more details. I was like, wait. So a black man allegedly is now killed a white man in hockey, a black hockey player killed a white hockey player, and we're not talking about it. I mean, the race shouldn't matter if somebody died doing it, but it's not being talked about. So that's when I looked into it, and that's when I found out that it was in Europe. So I was like, okay, I guess I can give you the pass on, like, because I mean, it's not like they really keep up with. I can't name any sports leagues. I'm sure they have sports leagues, and I mean, yeah, they show some soccer highlights and shit, but like, we don't give a fuck about whatever, like their fucking basketball leagues or whatever league. We don't give a fuck about that shit. So I guess in our mind, it's just some whatever shit, like whatever. But what bothers me is I'm thinking about it. I'm just like, I can understand the reasons why they don't really feel the need to discuss it. But what bothers me is we all know that had this been a black man that had been that had died off of the same axe, but it was done by a white guy, this would be the A, B, and C block. It don't matter what country it is, don't matter what sport it is, it just needs to be a sport so it can make ESPN. It just needs to be a sport. But outside, it don't matter what country it is, what level it is, it don't matter none of that shit. So it pisses me off because it's these stories are just used to divide us. Because niggas is so manipulative. Niggas is so easy to manipulate. Niggas is so easy to manipulate. And I think niggas are so easy to manipulate because niggas are in general raised by women, and women are easy to manipulate. That's what marketing is. That's why most of the consumer debt is held by women. Like, these people know what they're doing. Women are easy to manipulate. Women are followers. So when you have women-led, women-raised people, then obviously they're going to be easy to manipulate. And I'm tired of my people being manipulated, but it's just so easy to do. And yeah, you can't tell a fool that they're a fool. They just have to come to terms with their foolishness on their own. Anyway, rest in peace, Adam Johnson. It's unfortunate that happened. Hopefully, some type of justice is met, but at the same time, they are saying that this was an accident. Like, they're saying that it was inadvertent and just a tragic mistake. And look, I can understand. I just we know if the races were swapped in this, if it was two white guys, it's not a story. Unfortunately, if it was two black guys, it's probably not a story. It's probably not a story because, like, yeah, they definitely want to profit on black death, but at the same, now it would be a story because they could profit on the black death, and then they would incarcerate the dude that did that. So yeah, I guess they would be able to do something with that. But with it being a white man that passed, and it was because of the actions of a black man, guys, we really gotta. I understand it was Europe, but you can only tell white people, and you can only show white people that you don't care about them for so long. Eventually, they're going to remember and acknowledge and realize that they're the majority. And you don't want a pissed off majority. You don't want that. I don't want that. They don't want that. Nobody wants that. But you keep telling them how much they're the problem, they're useless, they're worthless, it doesn't matter when they die, nobody cares. And we don't care who kills them, how they kill them, anything like that. Like, their lives don't matter. Like, black lives matter, and then white lives don't matter, is basically what y'all are doing. Crazy. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into the last segment of the day, last segment of the show. We're going to be talking about I'm wrong, where I was wrong, where I have been wrong. It is very early in the NBA season, but I'm ready to just go ahead and step out there and say it, guys. I was wrong on Chris Paul. Chris Paul, in the over these past early, what, six, seven games, it's very clear to me. I was very upset with the move when they made it in the summer. And they didn't necessarily, in my opinion, upgrade. This is hard for me to say. Like, they made a win now move. That's what they did. In the offseason, I like to make win forever moves. This move seemed to be more of a win now, which is why I was kind of not really with the whole Jordan Poole trade at the time. Because I still believe that Jordan Poole is capable of being a 26 to 28 point per game scorer in this league. I think he can be a high volume scorer. I think he could have did that with Golden State. I think that playing off of Steph and Klay, he could average it. It would have been another big three. But there were a lot of things with Jordan's everything. Like, it was just the way Jordan played the game, the way Jordan carried himself. It was just, but you also got to understand where he came from, like, to it, in a sense. He was a second round pick in the G League. Like, if COVID didn't happen, more than likely he's out the league. He's out the league in 2021. But because COVID happened, he's in the gym. He's locked in. And this has happened throughout the sports world, I believe, with this whole COVID thing. Because also, like in college football, like, everybody's got 6-7 year seniors on their teams. So people, like, teams are really, really maxing the fuck out. I do believe, and this is just a small, like, little hot take theory or whatever, but I think starting next season, we're going to see a massive decline in college football. And, well, maybe college sports in general. Well, maybe not college basketball, because the best players are leaving early already. But in college football, I think, like, you're going to see a lot of, you know, 6 and 7 year quarterbacks and major impact players from teams that are no longer going to be there. And I think any, well, I won't say any, but I think, well, yeah, I will say, I think, and hell, if you would have gave me 7 years, I probably would have. I would have had a chance. If you gave me 7 years, I would have had a chance at something. At the college level. The second round pick wasn't guaranteed contract. Was in the G League, and COVID happens. Steph gets hurt. So another opportunity. Like, so many things had to break in Jordan Poole's favor, and they did. But then they also made him the person he was, because after everything breaking the way that he did, he got that contract. He got that championship. And it's really hard to still strive to be the best when you kind of checked off all the boxes on your checklist. Like, that's what separates, you know, good from great. Like, the checklist for a Steph, Kobe, Michael Jordan, like, it's much there's more boxes on that checklist for guys like that. Jordan Poole doesn't really seem to be, he's fine with living a lifestyle. And I mean, that you can't be mad at him for it. He's already got his bag. He's already got his championship. I mean, just have fun now. Obviously you want to win the game, but I mean, there's 29 teams that don't win every year. Have a blast, Jordan Poole. You can say you've done it. You can say you've done it, and they can never take it away from you. But the things that Jordan Poole did poorly are the things that Chris Paul does at an elite level. Jordan Poole would put the game into the ref's hands because he would make careless plays on the defensive end of the floor. And on offense, his first year, he got a lot of favorable calls. And after they stopped giving him those favorable calls, it really fucked with him mentally, because he was thinking that the game was one way, and then he's starting to realize that the game is whatever way they want it to be. And that really fucked with him mentally. Chris Paul, he's aware of this. He's an older player. He's been in the league for quite some time. He's been the president of the Players Association, and he has a bit of a relationship with not only the media, but the refs. So Chris Paul plays the game. In playing the game, the Warriors, and now that playing the game is a part of the Warriors, it somewhat combats the, you know, like, for example, on Friday in the in-season tournament game against OKC, the Warriors, the Thunder were in the bonus with 9 minutes and 43 seconds left in the fourth quarter. The Warriors committed 4 team fouls in 2.5 minutes. So, is it possible that they, you know, just really, 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 really fucked up for a 2.5 minute stretch in the most important stretch of the game? Sure. Or is it possible that the refs, you know, seized the moment? Well, with Chris Paul on the floor, which he was in that game, because that would have been Jordan Poole last season. Jordan Poole would have been in his feelings. He would have given, been emotional, and he would have jacked up a fucking dumbass 30-foot shot off of one leg with three people on him. That's what he would have done. If it goes in, then cool, we might have some momentum. More than likely, it's not going in, though. Chris Paul, I see it, guys. All right, I get it. All right. He's a pretty good point guard. Okay, all right. You gotta acknowledge, though, I ain't never really seen a really good point guard on the team that I'm watching. Like, I'm over here watching Derek Fisher and Smush Parker's trash ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got Ramon Sessions, and I'm like, oh, we got a guy. We got Steve Blake. I'm like, oh, we out of here. Then I see this little nigga in Golden State pulling up from 30. I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. This is amazing. This is perfect. This is what I need. Then Lonzo Ball came in. He was doing his thing, but, you know, wasn't able to, you know, stay that way. D'Angelo came in, but they didn't let D'Angelo, you know, really live because the whole situation, which really shouldn't even be like, it shouldn't even. That whole thing got blown out of proportion, but, you know, it just fucked up everything. But Chris Paul, I see. I get it. His decision making is next level. It's elite. He getting the ball to Clay. He's getting the ball in Draymond, and Draymond has the opportunity to do something. Like, he's like Kobe was later, like towards the later stages, like a play ahead. Or I won't say the later stages, but towards his prime. For me, I would say like from 09 to like 12. Well, really from like 08 to like 12, when he's not getting as many assists, but he's getting the hockey assist. He's making the pass because he sees, like, hey, you make that pass. It's not smart for me to make this cross-court pass, but if I make this pass to you, if you're not an idiot, you're going to pass it to him right there, who we both see wide open in the corner. But you don't get an assist for that. So Chris Paul makes a lot of plays like that. Chris Paul also obviously gets his assist as well. His IQ is next level. You've all heard the stories of the 3-for-2s. You see how he plays the refs. You see how he is always aware of the situation. And with him doing that, it frees up Steph to just go back into sniper assassin mode. He doesn't have to, like, Steph is actually a superstar that's actually capable and willing to play off the ball. And he's actually probably better if you let him do it. Like, you know what I mean? So it was a brilliant move. And then also turnovers, Chris Paul, has a great assist to turnover ratio, has always had that. You can't be a great point guard without, you know, having something like that, you know, attributed to you. And turnovers have been the Warriors' Achilles heel for quite some time, mostly because they share the ball so much with everybody. Whenever you're going to have so many assists, because they're typically in, like, within the top five of assists. Like team assist. So, like, when you're throwing the ball around a lot, you're probably going to have a lot of turnovers. And the past couple of years has been problematic. When you bring in a guy like Chris Paul, you would think on paper, you're not going to take a dip in those assist numbers team wise, but you're definitely going to improve on the turnovers. And though it's absolutely what happened, I couldn't be happier with this Warriors. This Warriors team overall. Actually, I'm lying. I could be happier. They could fire Steve Kerr. They could play Trace Jackson Davis a little bit more. I kind of like Brandon Podnimski, whatever. But I love Gary Payton. Pause. Like, I fucking love. That is my favorite. Like, dead ass. Behind Steph, Gary Payton II is my favorite player in the league, dog. I fucking love Gary Payton II. He is. He's the goat, dog. If he could just shoot just a little bit, oh my goodness. Which also brings me, I do need to say this real quick. Steph Curry is a fucking psychopath. We've already known that, though. Draymond Green must have CTE from that little bit of spring brawl that he did back in the day. Because that last sequence, or well, I guess second to last sequence in that, game against the Thunder on Friday. They inbound the ball. Draymond gets it. He fakes the handoff. Now, whenever Draymond fakes a handoff, my heart sinks into my ass. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? Because we all know one of two things is about to happen. Draymond is either about to throw up a bullshit excuse of a floater, or he's throwing an alley. Now, I didn't see Kevon Looney in, so I was like, oh, fuck, here goes a fucking dumbass floater. In the moment where we don't need Draymond to be taking the shot. Like, we absolutely do not. We do not. The only reason why it might be open because no one in the stadium is thinking Draymond Green is taking the shot in this moment. Draymond has CTE. Draymond throws an oop to 6'2 Gary Payton II with under a minute to play on the road in a game that I believe they were losing at that time. Obviously, Gary Payton finished it and everything, like, you know, it worked out. Like, it ended up being a good play, but like, what are we doing? Steph threw a cross court, no look pass from the 3-point line, alley-oop to Gary Payton. These guys are sickos. But I just love the trust that they have in Gary, and I love that they all acknowledge that he's capable of making that play and finishing that play. And I just wish, because it's got to be big for his confidence. It's got to be big, knowing that these guys, champions, battle tested and everything. Obviously, he's a champion as well, I believe. Yeah, champion as well. But these guys, they've been here. They are this franchise, more or less, and they're trusting you in that situation. I just wish that the 2017, 2018, 2019 Lakers could have all acknowledged that Lonzo Ball was capable of doing everything that Gary Payton II is capable of doing, but he's 6'7 and a better shooter. No one at any point ever anywhere helped Lonzo with this confidence. Now, obviously, it is an intrinsic thing. It's all on you. Like, there's not really something, but there are ways that guys can help. There are ways that you can feed guys easy buckets and help them get going. There, it is possible. I know he's the point guard, and that's his job to do. But if anybody had any, and this is the problem because they were a young team, but if anybody had any type of IQ, they would understand, like, okay, Lonzo's running the floor, Lonzo's in position, Lonzo's literally pointing up asking for the oop. Why are y'all seeing him as a guy that can't finish that? Because he can't make a three? Those are two completely different things, guys. He's 6'7", pretty athletic. Throw it up. Nobody would ever, the only NBA teammate Lonzo has ever had throw him oops is Zion Williamson. It's very upsetting. It's very upsetting because I know what it can do for him. And I'm sure it could definitely help out a guy like Ben Simmons if there was anybody capable of feeding Ben. Because Ben, like, he used to, be able to, score, and now he's forgotten to. But if there was anybody capable of helping him get back into that, but there's nobody there for him. Nobody's able. He needs a Dwayne Wade. He needs somebody to teach him how to do it. You know what I mean? That's what these guys need. There's not enough D Wades in the game today. There's only one. There's Steph, and it worked one time, and Steph not doing that shit again. Steph's a better man than D Wade on multiple fronts, at least as of now. Anyways. Another thing on where I was wrong, I think it's early, so I don't really want to just commit to being wrong just yet. I'm still on the fence, but Wemby, whenever I'm watching, and it's been early, but whenever I'm watching the Spurs and like Wemby's playing and doing well, I'm just like, yo, like, they're actually playing well, and like, they won the game. They're winning these games. Like, eventually, at some point, we can't just say like they're an up and coming building team. Now, again, it's extremely early. Like, I think they got their ass beat by fucking like 30 to the fucking Pacers today. But I'm seeing when Wemby performs well and they're dominating against, it doesn't matter who the team is. I mean, Is this Spurs team going to sneak into the playoffs? Because I think it's already signed, sealed, delivered. Like, yeah, he's going to be an all-star. Like, I thought this would be crazy for saying that he would be an all-star in his rookie year. But, that's probably happening. All-NBA first team? Probably not. Now, I don't know if the numbers might be there for him to be all-NBA defensive team. But if you just look at the analytics, he's when he's on the floor, the Spurs are the best defense in the league. When he's off the floor, they're the worst defense in the league. If that's not a case for Defensive Player of the Year, it sure as hell is a case for MVP, which is crazy. I did not think that he was going to be able to come in and do this like this. I did not see this. I did not believe. I this. But what's crazy is because people, like, you know, they're making more people are starting to make the comparison between him and Bol Bol. And I mean, obviously, you know, it's crazy as hell to even make that conversation and put that correlation together. But at the same time, like, I can see it. I can see I've never been on the side of that, but like, I can understand how you came to that conclusion, because I'm still sitting here thinking, like, okay, Wimby's doing this, Wimby's doing that. Why isn't Chet Holmgren? What is it with Chet Holmgren? And then I look at Chet Holmgren and I'm just like, yeah, he's really not playing bad at all. You can actually make the case that he's been better than Wimby. The difference is he's got to share the floor with an reigning All-NBA first team player and a guy that believes that he's him. And I mean, shout out to BBN. I mean, that's my dog, SGA. So I'm still on the fence with Wimby, but this, he might, yeah. Okay. All right, Spurs. They might really, 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 really have did something here. And if that's the case, I really just don't want him to waste his career in San Antonio, dog. And then I was also thinking the other day, and like, you know, I should really get up out of here. You know, I'll probably bring that up with Jeff. I'll bring that up with Jeff. Yeah, that'll definitely be some wild shit. Me and Alan, we have a longer episode where we discuss Wimby in a little bit more detail and, you know, things like that. It'll be dropping here soon sometime. So, I mean, unless something happens periodically or something within the next week or so that we want to talk about Wimby, then, you know, I'll bring it back up. But I do have an episode pretty much solely dedicated on Wimby and the early NBA and things like that with Alan that we recorded this past week, set to drop sometime soon. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to go ahead and end with this last thing of where I was wrong. Drink to me being wrong. I could not. It's early. It's still, I mean, well, it's about halfway through the season, so it's no longer early. CJ Stroud is that guy. He is that dude. I am stunned. I have no words for the performances that CJ Stroud has week in and week out been putting together. I am upset about them losing to the Panthers last week, because how are you going to lose to Bryce Young? But you've been dominant. You've been him in damn near every single game. And what blows my mind even more is, like, I really thought that he was just a product of the Hall of Fame, but the first round draft pick carousel of wide receivers that have been coming through Ohio State's receiver room. CJ Stroud's made it abundantly clear it does not matter who his receivers are, because, hey, look, I believe Nico Collins was there last season. I believe Tank Dell was not. Tank Dell, shout out to my man Tank Dell, birthday twin. He was not there. What's his name? Dude from Alabama who. John Michi, I believe he hasn't really played much, but like these aren't world beater. This is by no means the top five receiving core in the AFC. And CJ Stroud is doing this. 470 yards, 5 touchdowns this past weekend. I forgot the white boy's name that went to Stanford that was the quarterback the past 2 years. And, like, honestly, over time, like, people were starting to rock with dude. They was like, yeah, nah, we're going to take this guy and y'all, yeah, we going to be all right. And when they drafted him, I was like, dumbasses. They should have got fucking Will Anderson. But they found a way to also get Will Anderson by making a trade. Then I was like, oh, y'all won the draft. Okay, y'all was able to pick up CJ Stroud. We'll see if he's worth anything. But y'all also got Will Anderson. Bet. I ain't heard Will Anderson. Granted, he's a defensive player, so only after draft day, I don't care about him. I haven't heard his name all year. CJ Stroud's got like 4 or 5 300-yard games. I think he's got the most passing yards as a rookie quarterback ever. Like, or through 8 games, like, ever. Like, he's doing all this. And on paper, again, I believe this is a mediocre receiver room. Like, with all due respect, hey, they've been killing it for me, like, personally, but I'm just talking about in general. And, like, big fan of Tank Dell, my man. Happy birthday, Scorpio, my dog. Nico Collins, I didn't even know he went to Alabama. Maybe I'm forgetting. Maybe he didn't go to Alabama. Maybe I'm tripping. Regardless, he's nice as well. They have somebody else that's hurt this past, but maybe I'm just overly sleeping on this receiving corps, but I did not see them as I mean, I guess they are better than what Patrick Mahomes has aside of Travis Kelce. I like Dalton Schultz. I don't believe Travis Kelce, but I do like Dalton Schultz. Maybe this is a nice receiving room, but I just think, would CJ Stroud be doing this if he was in Baltimore? Would he be doing this if he was in New York? That's what I want to, like, because I really thought that he was just a product of Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Njigba, Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, I mean, like, these are some names, first round names that he also had. Because we've seen, there was a small bit of time where OU had some first-round receivers, and we was like, oh, okay, so is it Jalen Hurts, or is it Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray in them? Well, shout-out to Marquise Brown. He's cool. CeeDee Lamb, and my dog. I do fuck with CeeDee. That's my dog. Sterling Shepard. Right on. Marvin Mims. I don't know what team he's on, but I remember his name. Get his name solidified first rounders for Ohio State. And CJ Stroud's doing this with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. This man is a Hall of Famer. I ain't never seen no shit like this. Like, he's literally completely having me completely change my entire mindset on the quarterback position. Because I'm honestly believing a quarterback can't be good without any weapons. But he's really changing that entire thing. I mean, again, there's quality, solid guys, and maybe over time we'll go back and look like, oh, Nico Collins was crazy. Tank Dell, Hall of Fame. Like, Dalton Schultz, great thing. Like, maybe we'll go back and see all that. But right now, in this moment in time, what CJ Stroud is doing is un-fucking-leavable. And also, them having no kicker for that past game this past weekend, and having, like, a running back having to do, like, kick and all that. I think that I understand, because it's a part of a game that, it's something that they were able to utilize and were able to, get those points and everything. But I would like to believe that being a good kicker requires so much practice that a positional player will never be good enough to do it full time. But he did make a go-ahead field goal. I mean, they needed some more, but at that time, a go-ahead field goal in the fourth quarter, and he's a running back. If there becomes a time where positional players are able to do this with more regularity, what is the need of the kicker position? There's always been the joke or stigma that kickers aren't actual football players. Well, if actual football, because there's a thing. What's the name? Something Ogbonnawale. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. There's only maybe about 10 to 12 people, maybe, on the roster. I won't even, let me show more respect. There's probably 3-4 people on the roster, on the entire roster for the Houston Texans, that can do what their kicker did, and he would be one of them. Ogbonnawale, whatever, he would be one of them. But there's four or five guys that can do, there's four or five running backs on a roster. So why would I waste a roster spot on a kicker, respectfully, if I can get a all right kicker and another running back, or a fullback, or a receiver, or hell, a quarterback? Like, there's Niggas is evolving, dog. Niggas is evolving. We've seen the game of basketball. We talked about a lot of the evolution of the game of basketball. Maybe that was in episodes that haven't dropped yet with me and Alan. But they niggas is evolving. Niggas can kick now, too. Boy, if I could have kicked, I mean, they tell me I could have kicked. Okay, I was about to say, this nigga Victor did not finish that. This nigga's disgusting. See, and then there's nice like tonight. Like, what the fuck? Like, those Pacers beat their ass. This nigga Victor got his shit blocked. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Miles Turner over here looking like Michael Jordan. I knew that nigga would. Tyrese Halliburton really high-key pissing me off, but go ahead. This is crazy. 86 points in the first half. All right, right on. All right, appreciate y'all for listening. That was a nice little welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is 30. Yeah, nah, fuck all that. All right, y'all. Well, appreciate y'all for listening. Be back real soon. And more content with from the week that was with me and Alan to be dropping here and there. So never be shocked or surprised whenever you get some new content in the stream.